Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and we just turn control of this service over to you. Dear God, we ask that you just lead us and guide us with your precious Holy Ghost Spirit. Help us, God, to be in one accord and unity and one mind. God, we ask that you just bind every spirit that is not of you. Bind any hindrance, any distraction that would keep your word from proceeding forth. Anoint my tongue, body, soul, and mind that I will speak your word, dear Heavenly Father, and open the hearts and ears of the people here that they may receive from you and not from man. In Christ's name, amen. Let's just get into the word and then we'll go on further. All right? 12 and then verse 43 through 45. Says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. And when he is come, he findeth it empty. You notice that word empty right there, okay? Swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven, how many? Other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is what? Worse than the first. Even so it shall be unto this wicked generation. Now we'll get into the word. When we read this, we see, and over in Ephesians, if we get a chance, we'll go over there. It speaks about we fight against evil spirits, principalities, rulers of darkness. Amen? So we see that it's the world is full of evil, okay? And the devil has his demons and evil spirits running around inside of this world. Do you understand that? When in Genesis 2:7, it talks about God formed man out of the dust and he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. So right there inside of you, your body is not only flesh, but it has a soul. Amen. And in the beginning, God, when he breathed into man, he put that living soul off in there. But man sinned and that sin brought forth death, you know, due to the disobedience. Amen. So from that point on, that's the reason why the Word of God says you have to be what? You have to be born again, all right? Born again, born into the Spirit. And when you're born into the Spirit, God will place His what inside of you? His Holy Spirit. But for people that are not saved, or people that are in a backslidden state of mind, or people that are in religion and believe that they're saved, they are walking around and they don't realize that there are unclean spirits. And for people to say, I don't believe in demons, I don't believe in devils, I don't believe in all that stuff, the Word of God says it's true, amen. And it says that when it leaves a person, the only way it can leave is if you come down to the altar and you pray and you ask God in your heart and you turn around and it leaves. But what did it say? People tend to do that. They come to church, they get prayed over, they get saved, they feel good, they feel the peace, they feel the love, they feel the joy, they feel the happiness. And then what do, church? They walk right back off into the world, and what does the world say? That there are evil spirits, we fight against evil spirits, principalities, rulers of darkness. They walk right back into the world, right back around the same friends, right back around the same group of people, right back the same lifestyle, right back to the same everything, and they think that everything's going to be different. They think that everything's going to be changed because now they have Christ, and they say, well, everything's going to be all right. But that's not the way it goes. You understand? Because what happens if you don't ask God to fill you full of that Holy Spirit and you go around the same people, places, and things and continue to do the same things that you do, the Word of God says that your house will be what? Empty. Do you hear me? And what am I trying to teach you? What I'm trying to teach you is when you come to church and you get saved and you feel God's peace, you feel His presence, you feel the anointing, you feel what everything He has for you, if you go back in the world and you no longer feel the gospel of peace, you no longer feel that love, you no longer feel that happiness, you no longer feel what you used to feel, then praise God, I'm here to tell you today, your house is empty. Amen. You can say that you're saved all day long. You can come to church and still be an empty vessel. You can still be here and say, I went to church once a week. I didn't have much time, Pastor, but when I did have time, I read the Word of God. I read a little bit. Well, I didn't have time because I was busy, but when I did, I prayed a little bit. Well, I didn't have time to come all the other nights of church, but when I did come Sunday morning. And what you're telling God is, look, I'm going to put you on a shelf, And when I have time for you, amen, then I will what? I will pray. Then I will read my word. Then I will go to church. Then I will have what? I will have a relationship with you, God. Amen. And that's the way lots and lots of people, they believe that God is only there to meet their needs when they have a need. Amen. And they think that as long as they're good people, amen, that everything is okay. All right, because I'm not like the sinner who's doing all these bad things, and I've never done those type of things, and I'm a good person, so therefore I'm okay, amen? And there's so many people that are caught in what? The okay stage. And they believe that because they're in the okay stage, that God looks at them different than he would one of us sinners who have been in the streets and done did the bad. Amen. And they believe that that their way of living is okay, and ours is, well, you know, I know God's going to show me favor because I wasn't as jacked up as them people. Amen. You get what I'm saying? But what people don't realize is you can go to church, you can live a life and still be an empty vessel. Amen. Do you hear me? Because if you don't have that peace, if you're not feeling that love, if you're not feeling that joy, and you're come to church and it just ain't touching you the way that it used to touch you, and I'm not getting what I used to get, and, you know, I just wish that there was more. The only reason why you don't get more is because your heart ain't ready to receive more. Do you understand that? Because the word of God comes fresh from the throne room of God, and it's for those who are hungry, it's for those who are dying, it's for those who are hurting, it's for those who are seeking a relationship with God that says, guess what? I need church, amen. I need God. I need a relationship with him. I can't go just to be going. I can't go just to say hello and pat you on the back and say, I'll see you next week. I can't go just to act like I'm better than anybody else in there and I don't have a problem in the world, because I guarantee you, as long as you are in this world, we have problems, amen. We have problems. Everybody from the pulpit down to the bottomest sinner there is, we all got issues. We all got problems. We all got things we need to work on, amen. Unless you Jesus Christ himself, amen. But the word of God says that this house is empty. It's empty. Picture yourself, your house, in the middle of a war zone. Do you hear me? And there is good and there is evil. You understand that? And your house is right in the middle. Amen. And it's going to be contained by one spirit or another. Do you hear me? It's either going to be tamed by God and the Holy Ghost Spirit, or it's going to be maintained by a devil. Do you hear me? There is no if-ands about it. You are a living vessel. God breathed life into you, so something has got to be inside of you. Do you hear me? But nobody pays attention to that. They all look at the body. They all look at what they look like. And like a Pharisee, well, look how I dress. And look how I look. And look how much word I know. And the word of God says this. And the word of God says that. And the Bible says this. And the Bible says that. And then right out of the same mouth, you'll hear them curse. And you'll hear them backbite, and you'll hear them gossip, and you'll hear them devour one another, and you'll hear them talk and treat people like they shouldn't. And then you say, you're going to try to quote the word of God? You can't have out of the same mouth bitter water and sweet water. It don't work like that. Amen? You're going to know them by their fruits. But people don't want to come to church and hear the truth. Amen? They would rather what? Sit around and listen to the lies and the craziness. You know, here's what's crazy. I heard this on the radio. There's truth and there's grace. And it says you can't have too much truth and no grace. And you can't have too much grace and no truth. And I can relate to that. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. I believe God loves us, and I believe he loves us from the bottom all the, because I was at the bottom, amen. So I know the grace that God can do. He can reach places nobody else can reach. Amen. He will reach down, he'll grab you, and he'll pick you up and put your feet on a solid rock and pull you out of miry clay if you're willing to be obedient, if you're willing to yield yourself, if you're willing to do right. But you can't just sit around and preach grace, 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 and not speak no truth. Do you understand that? Because the truth, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Grace is what gets you in the door. Okay? We shouldn't have to continue to have grace every single day we turn around. Oh, I got to ask for repentance again, and I got to repent again, and I got to repent again, and grace and grace and grace, and I'm only human. I just keep making mistakes, and I keep failing. Do you know what repentance means? I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. I repent. I go the opposite direction. I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. Do you understand that? When you truly ask for forgiveness and you truly repent, you seek to please God your Father and you change. Amen. You don't continue to make the same excuse for the same sin and then say, well, we can sin tonight and ask for forgiveness in the morning. Amen. Everything's good. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, you're just too strict and you're just too fanatical. Do you know how many people's in hell wishing they had listened to the gospel when they had an opportunity? Instead, they listen to preachers that want to preach all this goody, goody, good stuff. And, oh, I feel good when I go to that church because, yeah, I can still sin and live like the devil. Do you understand that? Do you want the truth or do you want a lie? Amen? And if you don't want the truth, you're in the wrong church. Because I ain't changing. Amen. I'm not changing. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Because in the end, that's the only person you're going to stand in front of. When the friends and everybody leave you and forsake you, God will stick to you closer than a brother. Do you understand that? The only one you got to worry about is God. And you better have a clean conscience and be able to stand before him and say, God, I did what you wanted me to do. I said what you wanted me to say. I love those who you wanted me to love. Amen. I know this type of preaching, it seems hard and it seems tough on people, but you don't understand. You got to reach everybody on different levels. When you call me on the phone and you're brokenhearted and you beat up and you need that shoulder to cry on, many of you have had Pastor hold you in the arms and you bawled your eyes out. And I said, it's going to be okay. Jesus loves you. It's all right. Get back up. It'll be all right. Hallelujah. It's going to be okay. God's here for you. Amen. So you get that love, you get that grace, and you get that love. Many of you understand that. You felt that. But I know that the people up in here, let's be honest, you're a bunch of hardheads. Do you understand that? And it's not by accident that you're up in this church. Amen. You got to hear the truth the way it's coming, because any other way, you wouldn't accept it. You wouldn't accept it. And people are going to do one or two things. They're either going to accept it, and they're going to say, praise God, that's the truth. I need the truth because that's what's going to keep me alive and that's what's going to keep me saved. Amen. Or they'll reject it and say it's too hard, it's too strict, it's too mean, it's too... It's because you don't want to change. Do you understand? But when the Word of God talks about spirits, do you hear me? It's not just about you being an outward clay. It's not just about you being a body. There is spirits. Spirits, evil spirits, principalities, rulers of darkness that are seeking to get into that house of yours. And when you leave the doors of your house unlocked, and you leave the windows of sin open so the devil can come in, and you leave everything unattended, guess what? That one will come and say, hey, we're in the war zone, but I'm tired of being in the army and sleeping on this cot. There goes a house. And the door of the gates is unlocked. And the front door is unlocked. And the windows of sin are open. Even though he's going to church, even though he's reading his word or she's reading her word, guess what they got in the house? The door of sins is open. You see, many of us think because we ain't out there in the sin, hallelujah, we doing good. Do you hear me? But you got to be ready, because sin, you ain't got to go to it. It's going to come to you. Amen. It's going to come. If the door is open, the gate's unlocked, and the window's open, it's going to come and try to put its seed in your head. It's going to try to push that religion off into your mind. It's going to try to twist and turn the way the truth that God has given to you, and it's going to try to manipulate it to make it sound like it's an easy road. Amen. It ain't an easy road. We're in a war zone. And if you leave that door open, that one spirit, the Bible of God says it's going to come. It will. And you get to it. And at first, the sin comes in. And how many of you know? It's a little bit pleasurable, ain't it? Oh, well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's okay. I'm not doing everything that I used to do. Or I'm not doing all that bad stuff. You see, we begin to do what? Justify. Hallelujah. Preach with me then. We begin to justify our actions, and we begin to rationalize our behavior, and we begin to make excuses for our sin. But when sin is sin, sin is sin. And eventually that one sin that came into your house, that one spirit that came there, it will eventually, y'all ain't going to get along very much anymore. Now it ain't too fun. Now we ain't getting along too good. Now all of a sudden it went from fun to a whole different level. And now you're looking at that sin and you're like, man, I don't want this in my house no more. But it done got cozy because it don't want to go back out in the war zone. Amen. It likes it in your house. It likes what it can get from you. It likes to receive from you because it likes to go to your refrigerator and eat up everything. It likes you paying all the bills. It likes kicking its shoes off and sitting on your couch and sleeping in your bed. And you're like, hang on, I don't like this sin no more. You got to go. I know what I'll do. I'll run back to the church. Ain't it funny how when people, they don't need God until it hits the fan, huh? Then all of a sudden they break their neck to get down here. See, when they don't need God, they can sit out there and they can just be tough. He ain't talking to me. I'm talking directly to you. Amen? Amen? That's exactly who I'm talking to. they get the one spirit out and it leaves. And instead of turning around and changing and getting full of the Holy Ghost and listening to the Holy Ghost, see, the Holy Ghost will be your best teacher. The Holy Ghost will tell you more than what I could ever possibly think about telling you. Amen? It will. When you're sitting out there and you hear that little voice in your head, you know you better get away from this. You know this is wrong. You know you're doing, and you don't take heed to that. Guess what you're telling the Holy Ghost? Get on out of my house. You ain't welcome here. You don't want to listen to what I have to say. You don't want to be obedient. You don't want to do right. Okay, fine. You want to do it your way? Bet. Do it your way. I'll go ahead and get out the picture. Guess what happened to that house now? It's what? It's empty. And that one spirit, it says it's going around looking for a place to stay, and it can't find one. And it goes on and says, you know what? I know where I can go. I know where I can attend. I know where I can be. I'll go back to that same house that I used to be in. Can I help you with something? I'll go back to that same house that I used to stay in. Ain't that what the Word of God says? And it comes back and it sees that the house is clean. It sees the house is all nice. See, because you know, once you get the devil out, you ever notice how your life gets real clean? All the bad stuff you used to do, you ain't doing it no more. Things start being good for you. Things start coming up for you. It seems like everything's going peachy. Everything is fine. You're like, hey, praise God, we got it going on. You got a clean house. Amen? The problem is we don't keep a house clean. So when that one spirit comes and it sees that it's clean, what did the Word of God say it does? Seven more. It goes out and says, look, last time he was able to kick me out. Y'all ready for this? Y'all paying attention? Because it's going to drop on you. You ready for it? Last time, me and him or her was struggling, and he had a hard time to get me out. You ever notice when you get saved, when you go back to sin, it's real hard to come back to church? Real hard. Real strong. He about got me. So what do I got to do? I'm going to go get the troops. I'm going to go get the troops seven times worse. You hear me? Seven times worse. So when you get clean, you think you're good, and you're all good, and everything's going good. Now you don't need God because your house is clean, and you don't want to listen to God, and you boot him out. Now your house is empty, and the devil sees that it's empty, but he knows that you overcame him by himself one-on-one, so he goes and gets reinforcements seven times worse. And the demons come. Do you understand what I just said? I said, and the demons come, and they come back into that vessel. And they said, the word of God said that the state of that person is seven times worse. So if you think you was jacked up before you found God, you best believe you don't want to make it to seven times worse. Do you understand me? That's why people are dying every single day, because they feel like quitting. They feel like giving up. They feel like I can't do this. They feel like there's no way in the world I can make this happen, because now these spirits, hallelujah, have came and back into that vessel, and now they got the windows, one in front of the door, back door, front door, windows, and then they tell that little soul that's there, look at here, you gonna do what we tell you to do now. You understand? And the person begins to say, I don't know why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. I can't comprehend it. I can't understand why I continue to fail. I can't understand why I continue to mess up. I can't understand why I continue to do these things over and over and over. And I try to quit, and I just can't quit, because there's something, hallelujah, what they tell you, they say there's something that's controlling them. Do you understand that? It's a demonic spirits. Demonic spirits. And that's why people will do things back when you was in the street. You remember back when you was in the street? And you did things that you was shameful of. You did things that you ain't proud of. Amen. You did things that when you look back now, you say, how in the world did I ever do those type of things? I got news for you. Wasn't you that was doing them. The devil inside of you. What happens is that person that's inside of you, they make him go into the little closet, you hear me? And they bound him with chains, and they say, you just stay in there. And they possess that body, they possess that soul, they possess that mind, and then that man or woman turns into a full-fledged demon, do you hear me? And they began to act and do things that ain't normal. They reject people that would normally love them, they reject them. The kids that want to be them, they push them away. The friends that want to be there, they push them away. The people that want to get close to them, that can help them, they shut them all out. Amen. And then they get into a state where they get so embarrassed of their sin, so embarrassed of their wrongs, that they say, I can't tell nobody. Hallelujah. I know some of y'all, you better get what I'm telling you right now, because if you don't, it ain't going to be good. Do you hear me? You better grab a hold of this. Get a hold of it, because as long as you got life in you, the love of God and the mercy will reach you right now while you're still breathing. You comprehend what I'm saying? Run to Jesus. Run to him. Amen. Go to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 10. I'm going to show you how to win this, okay? I'm going to show you how to fight these demons. I'm going to show you how to take care of business on them. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 10. The word of God says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the who? In the Lord. And in the power of whose might? His might. So do you understand that one little verse right there? It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's not by your strength, because you cannot do it. You can't. Why do you think you fall over and over and over and you continue to mess up over and over and over? Because guess what you're trying to do? You're trying to do it by your own strength. You're trying to do it by your own might. You're trying to serve God the way you want to serve God. And you can't do that. You can't do that. Do you hear me? You have to do it. You have to humble yourself before the Lord. And you have to say, God, help me. Hallelujah. God, I need your mercy. God, I need your strength because I'm weak. God, I need you to lift me up because temptation is coming. They're fighting me on every direction, every side. You have to be humble. Do you hear me? The pride man will fall. If you think you got this and you think you all of that, you're going to fall. You will fall. But if you humble and you admit your sins to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I can't do it without you. I've tried. I failed. God, I can't do this. The devil comes in, he comes and goes, and he plays with your mind like a cat in a ball, and he takes you places you don't want to go. And people sit in churches and they say, I want help. I want help. I need help. But the devil keeps them so bound in their chair when altar call comes to get to prayer, they want to tell themselves, well, you're really not as bad as that. You're okay. You can do this. You can overcome it. You'll get it this time. Don't ask for help. He's already set you up. You're going to fall. You can't do it by your own power or your own might. Do you hear me? Nobody can. That's like telling God we don't need a Savior. That's what they're saying. He sent us to save us from who? Ourselves. Because you're your worst enemy. You'll be the one that destroy you more before anybody else will. Do you hear me? How do we fight? How do we overcome the devil? How do we win? How do we kick all these spirits out and live a victorious life? Keep reading. The Word of God says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of who? The devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you see how much stuff we fighting, man? They could have stopped after the first little word, devil, and I'd have been cool. But it went on, didn't it? And it went on a whole lot. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Did it say take on your armor? How do we try to fight every day? I got this. We put on our own armor. I don't need nothing. I don't need nobody. I can do this. Pride, 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 pride. I don't need prayer. They ain't no better than me anyway. What do I look like asking them to pray for me? They're more jacked up than I am. They missed the whole cue of where two or more are gathered together in his name. There he is also. It's not about what you and I can do. We're both flesh and blood. But it's about summoning the power of Jesus. You comprehend that? See, it's not about my righteousness or your righteousness. We both dead, and that's dead. It's no longer you that I that live, but it's Christ that lives in us. So when God sees us, amen, he doesn't see you or I. He sees his precious son, Jesus Christ. And when two of his sons get together and summons our brother Jesus, hallelujah, he has to come. That's like ringing his doorbell. Do you understand? So it's not about how much power you got or how much power I got. We ain't got no power. We jacked up, man. Do you understand that? Well, I'm going to go to them and I'm gonna pray. They're going to put some kind of magic prayer on me and everything. Man, you're wasting your time. You have to summons Jesus. And when two of you get together, you summons Jesus. Jesus comes, and the Word of God says that anything that we ask in his name, the Father will give unto us. So when you summons Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, God says, hey, I heard them say my son's name. What's going on, Jesus? They need you to take care of this sickness. They need you to take care of this disease. They need you to take care of their financial problems. They need you to take care of their marriage. They need you to take care of their children. They need you to take care of their job. They need you to take care of whatever. They need you to take care of them because they're really broken and beat up, battered and bruised and can't be put back together. So let's show them the love and grace and mercy. See, that's where I get into the love and the grace and the mercy. When people are really hurting and they're beat up and broken and they ain't got nothing, then Jesus will come and heal them. See, everybody says, well, Jesus will heal you. Yeah, but the body, it gets healed. It's going to live. It's going to die. If Jesus chooses to heal that sickness or disease, guess what? Give God the glory. But if he don't, don't worry about that. What you better be worried about is your soul. That's what he really heals. When you ask him to heal you, he heals you from the inside out. So when he heals from the inside, you get saved, you get full of the Holy Ghost. Then if you die, it really don't matter. Time to go. Ching, ching. I'm checking out of here, baby. Well, how come God didn't heal that person? Did he? Because the person probably didn't accept him from the inside to begin with. When the person received a prayer, they probably rejected it before they even got it. Amen? Or God knew their heart was evil and dirty and going to go right back to the same old wickedness and wasn't going to change. And then what do? They still blame God for them not getting healed. It's all God's fault. No, it's your fault. You ain't got the heart to receive what God has for you. Amen? Be real. Your heart is right. Your heart is full of God, it's full of Jesus. That nasty sin, it has to escape, it has to flee, it has to go. It ain't got no choice but to get up out of there. God's not interested on the outsides, and he don't matter if you're white, black, purple, rich, poor. What do you got on the inside of you? What does your heart look like? If we had one of them magnifying glasses, uh-oh, here we go, look, pay attention. I got a magnifying glass. If I could see your heart right now, what would I see? Some of you be going like this. Don't look, man. You're going to see my dirtiness. But shouldn't we open our heart to God and say, God, I don't want to cover my sin up. I don't want to hide it. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to think I got this all figured out. I don't want to act like I know everything. God, I need you to come in and fix it. And guess what? He don't ever stop fixing. You hear that song? He's still working on me. There's a song that sings. I wish somebody knew that. I'm going to have to say it. Because guess what? He's still working on me every day. And every day I think I got it going on, doing good. He just humbled me again. I'm like, thank you, God. Why can't I get this? Because he wants us to always depend on him. But it's not our armor. Amen. It's his armor. And we put on his armor, which is what? It says 13, take ye therefore the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So, you know what happens? We God tells us to stand, and what's the first thing we want to do? Move around. Well, I think I can help God. I think I'm going to help him. Stand there and just wait. So stand, having your loins girt with what? Truth. So we got to have truth, don't we? Having the breastplate of righteousness. Whose armor do we have, church? So whose righteousness do we need to guard ourselves with? God's. Do you get that? It's not your righteousness. You put on his righteousness, the armor. You're putting on his armor. Amen? Says, the breastplate. You know what the breastplate is? That's that. You ever seen them guys in the armor? They got all the armor, the helmet and all that. That big old breast, that steel. It's like a piece of steel over God's righteousness. The devil hits it, just bing, bounces off. Bounces off. Amen? And having your feet shod with the preparation. And listen to what they call the gospel. The gospel of what? What is the gospel? Peace. When you get the gospel of peace, you walk around just on cloud nine, just happy as all get out. Amen? If you ain't got that, you better check and see who's in your house. Amen. Better see who's all up in there. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? Oh, the Word of God. You take this right here, and guess what you do to that devil? You cut him. Whoosh! You chop him up with the Word. When the devil quoted the Word to Jesus when he tempted him, what did Jesus do? He quoted the Word right back to him. He cut him with the Word of God. See, that's the way phony people do. I'm going to close. Matter of fact, the ones that don't want to hear it, just go ahead and go to sleep and do what you want to do in your own head, or you can leave. The ones that do want to hear it, pay attention, because I'm going to help you. Amen? I'm tired of preaching to the ones that don't want to hear it. I'm going to preach to the ones that do. Amen. Where is that at? The sword, the Word of God. So Jesus turned around and he quoted the Word. When the devil quoted, fake, phony people, that's where I was at. The fake, phony people, guess what they do? They're like the devil. They all the time want to quote the Word. Just like the devil. The devil transforms himself into what? An angel of light. So he pretends. He's a Pharisee, a Sadducee. He's whitewashed on the outside. He's clean. He looks good. He quotes the Word. Well, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says that. That's what the devil was doing to Jesus. Can you just picture them both up on the mountain, and Jesus was there, and the devil says, well, the Word of God says, cast yourself off of this, and the angels will catch you. He could have said, oh, yeah, the Word of God does say that. Shoo, and jump off. And that's what cracks me up about people. They hear somebody say, well, the Word of God says this, and they say, oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it? And they just go off and jump off. They don't answer the Word back with the Word. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Well, if you just bow down and serve me, you know, I'll give you all this. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You got to tell that devil. You got to put him in his place. And when fake, phony people come around to you and they say, well, the Word of God says this, the Word of God says that, and they call themselves a Christian, I want you to look at their fruit. See what kind of fruit's on them trees. From preachers that you listen to on TV, to people you know in public, to people that may even go to this church, to your best friends, to your people you hang around with, see what kind of fruit they got. Why am I telling you this? Because you can mess around and catch yourself eating off of their trees of religion, believing their beliefs, because it's so-called Word of God. And their tree, guess what? It looks real pretty. And their fruit looks good. And ain't nothing happening to them, so it must be okay. But you ever notice how poison works when you eat it? You know, you don't notice it until it's too late. Then it gets off in there, and then it's doing more damage than what you could ever possibly imagine. And then people get into denial and say, well, that ain't the case. Well, that's not that. I'm going to close with this. It's real easy to sit out there in the pews and point at a preacher that's trying to love you. Real easy. They did it to Jesus. He went to the temples. He tried to preach to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Jews. They ran him up out of there. Chased him up out of town. He'd go from one town to the next. They didn't want what he had to offer because they were too set in their religious ways of looking the part, sounding the part, and acting the part. They didn't accept John the Baptist, amen, the forerunner of Jesus. When he would tell them, you den of vipers, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? He was preaching the wrath, do you understand me? And he told a Pharisee and the Sadducees and these fake religious people, he called them hypocrites to their face. He said, you're a hypocrite. Who told you to come over here and act like you want to be baptized? Go produce some fruit worthy of repentance. That's what he said. He preached the gospel, amen. He preached it. Paul, when he was in the churches, they ran him out and they took him outside of town and stoned him and killed him. He preached the truth. They locked him up. I don't want nobody sitting there buddy-buddying me and thinking we all this, that, and other and trying to lift my head up and raise me up and make me feel like I ain't one of them type of pastors. I don't need nobody to boost my head up. Amen. I don't do it for nobody. I do it for God, amen. I do it because he has called me. I do it because he has chosen me. I do it because he has placed his words in my mouth, and if I don't speak them, they will consume me and it will drive me crazy. I got to let the word of God out, amen. That's what's wrong with people. Listen to me when I close. When you leave this church today, you let the word of God that you learned today fill you up, fill your cup, hallelujah. Let it overflow. And if people don't like you for it, then they can get away from you. But you just keep on preaching the truth, amen. You keep on marching. You keep on fighting. You keep on serving God. You don't need no demons up in your house, amen. You take the word of God, which is a sword, and you stand there and say, you ain't coming up in here in the name of Jesus. You do, I'll be like David and cut your head off and show it to the rest of them demons. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it, amen. Don't turn around and say, well, as long as I don't go out there and sin, they can come here. Don't do all that. You're going to bring something on yourself you don't want. Every sin has a price, amen. And it will cost you. So you can either stay and get the truth. You can go somewhere else, and hopefully you'll get the truth. A lot of people say they do, but they wind up coming back, don't they? Amen. Thank you, God. I love Jesus. Amen. I can tell when he just started this. He just shuts it down. That was it. I go to get another word now. Ain't nothing else there. Amen. It's crazy how he does it. He just. I don't know how he does it. He just does it. Amen. He just does it. But he'll do it with you too. Amen. Let him do it with you. Keep your house clean. Keep it full of spirit. Stay away from people, places, things, Pharisees, even if they quote the word, don't take of their fruit. Amen. You keep the truth. Love people when they need grace and mercy. You give them that love and hug and kiss and tell them Jesus loves you. But if you see them being hard-headed and rebellious, don't buy into that and say, no, I ain't listening to that. Okay? You can't fix somebody that don't want to be fixed. Amen. Sometimes you got to let them go and turn them over. Amen. All right, Donnie, let's go ahead and play something. I want you guys to find a place of prayer. And I want you to ask God, God, if I have anything inside of me, do you hear me? God, if I have anything in my house that ain't of you, lust, anger, I ain't even going to name them. There's a lot of them. Amen. God, if there's anything inside of me that is not of you, please get it out of my house. Get these spirits up out of me. You know, make them leave me alone. And keep that gospel of peace. You walk around, you shouldn't have to only feel the love and peace of Jesus the first 3 weeks you come to church, and then all of a sudden you don't feel it no more. Because you're out there being hard-headed. Amen? You got to keep that peace. But the only way you can do it is by the armor of God. Amen? Not by your strength, by whose strength? There you go. You guys got it? All right, take these scriptures. Reread them. Jesus loves you. Take these scriptures and reread them. Go back over them. Don't ever take a man's word. It ain't man's word. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. But you need to get fed more. Amen. The reason why I say don't take a man's word, because I don't want you to just take, when you leave here, you take everybody that tries to put their little stuff on you. You know what I'm saying? Read the word for yourself. Study that word for yourself. Take these scriptures, go back home, reread them, and say, God, what else do you got for me out of them? Amen.